This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
It is Friday on AgriTalk PM. We have green all over the board today. Friday cannot get any better. We have some buys from China. We're coming off a USDA report, and hopefully more buys are on the way. This is AgriTalk PM. We have a lot to cover.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this, in fact, is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Phil Conrad from Tradis. And in the final segment, I will update you personally on this week's happenings in fuels and fertilizer prices. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip Flory, the much better looking Tyne Morgan.
Heyo!
Yo!
It is Friday.
If I candy were a thing, if I candy were a thing, you would be that on this afternoon's show compared to what we're used to.
It's not hard to beat.
Yeah.
The bar's low.
I mean, Chip's not bad. It's just, I don't know. You put them together and it's...
Yeah. You're right.
How's your day?
It's great. This morning I said that, I wanted to make it clear that even though Chip was at Iowa State yesterday, he did leave Iowa State. I could confirm that. And this morning I said, even though he's not here, he's not pre-gaming. I cannot make that same promise right now.
Oh, really? You think maybe that he's reached the pre-game phase of the weekend already?
He had a very important secret mission this morning, right? Very secretive. I think that mission's over. And I imagine if he's not in Ames, he's very close right now.
I think you're probably right.
Can you blame him?
No, I cannot.
College game day is going to be there this weekend.
Absolutely, and it's a huge game. It's the Iowa State Cyclones versus the Iowa Hawkeyes, who, you know, I have a hard time calling myself a fan of the Hawkeyes just because, I don't know, and maybe it's sports in general. And I'm a fan of sports. I just can't take the disappointment of caring about a particular team's win or loss record. You know what I mean? The ups and downs. I don't need them. I have enough already.
You're talking to a Mizzou fan. You think I don't know that? I live it every day.
Well, I hope the lads play a good game and they're proud of themselves by the end of the day. Those are my predictions and hopes for tomorrow's game.
it was pretty cool though, Davis, yesterday when we were there at Iowa State just to see ESPN setting up and the number of semis it takes for their set. Let's just say it puts the U.S. Farm Report AgriTalk set to shame.
Is that right?
We could fit ours in the back of a minivan. They cannot.
We'll get there. We'll get there one day. I know we will.
Well, there's some green on the board today. That was exciting after a really big day yesterday. So maybe not as big of a day as we had yesterday. You know, when you have a limit up in pork, you have soybeans up 20-some cents. Yep. I mean, a really good day yesterday. But to see more green, that's promising. And we did have some big news today.
We really did. A lot of big news. And it kind of keeps filtering in. So, it's hard to know what to pay attention to. But the market certainly does seem to like it.
The market does like it. So what is going on in the news today, Davis?
Well, wheat futures were mixed in today's trade, with KC and spring wheat mostly lower by the close. Early session support stemmed from yesterday's outside day up reversal and on concerns over ongoing dryness in wheat-growing regions of South America and Australia. Strength also derived from spillover support from corn and soybean futures. But the realization that wheat has not been included in discussions of Chinese tariff exemptions pressured some contracts into the close, as did a round of technical selling. December hard red futures were 3.75 cents lower at 3.99¾. December soft red futures fell 0.25 cents. Let's see. Oh, I didn't write down the spring wheat close here. December soft red futures off 0.25 cents, 4.83½. And let me scroll down here. Minneapolis wheat down, looks like 1¾ cents to 5.05½ in Tyne. You know, demand concerns have really been a problem for the wheat market. We searched for demand with lower prices and continually found ourselves undercut. And now we're snubbed in this China deal. It doesn't really surprise me that wheat doesn't come out in this first round of goodwill vibes from China. But gosh, it'd sure be nice to give wheat some kind of leg up on the demand side.
Davis, it just stinks for wheat growers right now. I mean, I was down in Texas last week talking to some farmers and some farmers' wives that are talking about it. And they're like, they're out there prepping the fields to plant some wheat. And man, I just can't get excited about planting wheat right now. Kind of where soybean producers were this spring, right? I mean, it's just, it's not a lot of positive news when we're coming out of wheat. Phil, today we're going to talk to him a little bit about wheat and look at some of these long-term trends. So hopefully he'll have some answers. But whenever producers can't get excited about planting wheat and haven't really been able to get excited about planting wheat, you know, you know we need that demand to come back to help revive these prices.
Well, corn futures were supported on follow-through by after yesterday's USDA reports trimmed production, but that support was limited by an increase in estimated carryover in those same reports. Corn was not mentioned as eligible for China's tariff exemptions, but overall, easing trade tensions are generally supportive for corn. Developing dryness in South America helped corn close in positive territory, but buyer enthusiasm was tempered by the near-term Midwestern forecast for warmer weather. December corn futures were 1.5 cent higher at 368 3/4. March corn added 1 3/4 to 381 1/2. May corn, 390 1/2. That's up a penny and a half today, Tyne.
Yeah, you know, some news about RFS, and I know, I think there's some information on ProFarmer, correct?
For sure,
some details. But some talk this week about the RFS. We knew there were some biofuels meetings going on, some talk about reallocating some of those gallons that were displaced by some of those small refinery waivers. So no answers as of this afternoon. A lot of it's talk, a lot of it's rumor. We have no concrete answers at this point. But hopefully that leads us into next week. But as Jim Wiesmeyer said this morning on AgriTalk, today the president was meeting with some senators and some congressmen and women from some oil states. And so it'll we'll see which way that conversation is swayed after today, but there is some positive momentum that maybe we can finally get some type of answer next week on the biofuels front.
Well, after skyrocketing yesterday, soybeans built on those gains in today's session. Technically, after having fallen to the lowest level since May early this week, November soybeans are trading around the highest level observed since July. Actual sales of soybeans were reported by USDA. Actual sales of soybeans reported by USDA to China. News the market has been waiting for a long time. USDA's cut to production and ending stocks in yesterday's report were also supportive. Novi bean futures 13 1/4 cents higher, 898 3/4. Jan beans gained 3 1/4 to 912 1/4. March beans closed at 924 even, up 2 3/4 on the day today. Let me skip over to the livestock quick time. Technical selling pressure the cattle market after recent gains. Pressure was limited, however, by mild gains in the cash market this week. But the trade suspects feedlots will hold on to market-ready cattle longer than expected, hoping for higher prices. Slaughter fell 19,000 head from the same week last year, seemingly confirming marketings are beginning to slow. October cattle were 65 cents lower, 98.07 1/2. December cattle futures off 57 1/2, 104.37 1/2. October feeders 7 1/2 cents higher, 134.57 1/2. And finally, on the snout side, after yesterday's limit up price performance in some lean hog contracts, futures continued to firm aggressively, as was the case in soybeans. News that China is willing to exempt U.S. pork from retaliatory tariffs excited demand bulls, setting off another wave of buying today. October hogs $3.30 higher, 66.47 1/2. These hogs took advantage of the expanded daily limit, up 450 to close at 68.70. Nice performance in the snouts.
Nice performance overall. I mean, it's exciting to head into the weekend on this note. So we need to talk a little bit more about on that livestock front, a turbulent ride lately. So what's going on? We'll check in with Phil when we come back on AgriTalk.
Mary Kay Thatcher is the senior lead for federal government relations for Syngenta. She works with Congress on legislation and the White House on regulations that impact the ag industry, and she joins us now. Mary Kay, why is it important for folks to actually make sure their representatives hear from them?
Someone like me can be here and can try to represent you when you're not able to come to town, and they want to know what you think, but what they'd really like to do is hear it from you, because you're the person who can indeed vote for them in the next election. So it's important that you share your voice, whether it's write a letter or make a call, or especially see a member in person.
So how can growers with a busy schedule manage that? I mean, a trip to D.C. isn't always in the budget.
Oftentimes, members of Congress will have town hall meetings and one or two or three people show up. So if you happen to be one of those folks, you can have your congressman's ear for a good 20 or 30 minutes if that's what you need.
Thanks, Mary Kay. For more stories from Syngenta, head over to syngentathrive.com.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Davis, are you picking the music today?
You did have a busy day today, didn't you?
Couple of busy days this week. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy busy. But it is an honor to be guest hosting AgriTalk PM today. And it's an even bigger honor to have Phil Conrad on with us. Phil, how are you this Friday?
You know, I'm doing great. I had a successful week in the markets. That's always good to get a little positivity again after the last month.
Yeah, are you surprised with how we ended up this week? I mean, there was a lot of talk, a lot of fear heading into this USDA report. And then, you know, really China stole the headlines.
You know, they did. The report was obviously fairly bearish, really, on the surface. Maybe soybeans somewhat supportive. But anytime you start getting some China talk going, I guess that's what started Wednesday, really, with Trump removing the national security advisor there. So that step forward, it felt like we were moving things in the right direction and then shaking off that report as well as we did. Very encouraging to see. It'd been nice to see a close on D's corn above 370. And if beans could stay above $9, it would be exciting. But we'll take, beans finished up 41 the week. We'll take that any week we get a chance. And above kind of a seasonal type average, opportunities for producers here, even if you don't like the price the way it is right now.
Right. So go into that with soybeans, you know, up 40 some cents on the week. Is this something that producers should take advantage of, or do you think this is just the start of something bigger?
You know, I'd like to think it's just the start of something bigger, but I don't know how many times China needs to fool us into thinking we're actually going to get something done. So that being said, I think until we get more harvest data, I mean, they might be kind of the wild card here with as bad as demand is. You kind of thought beans would be in the dumpster all year, but things are flipping around from the supply side. That seems like with those higher pod weights they had, assuming if that doesn't come to fruition here, you could see this bean yield really flip around on us, and you start getting carryout more in the 500 million carryout type situation. You argue beans could see a heck of a good rally, but I think you got to be proactive here and at least have a game plan, whether that's buying a put and selling a call and giving yourself some sort of window, but not just sit here paralyzed, staring at it, hoping for higher prices, because, you know, 41 cents is nothing to scuff at in really 2 days for the most part.
Right. And those higher pod weights, we've been hearing a lot of people talk about that. Was that kind of the big surprise out of the report?
I think so. And, the only thing I can kind of come up with the pod counts being lower, they're going to assume that the weights are going to be higher because there's going to be more nutrients pumped into that. So I would assume that's what USDA is thinking. I don't know. I mean, it seems odd that they have with the highest of the last 10 years at least. I didn't look any further data back than that. But to have that high of pod weights, it's like crazy to think, especially with as late planted as a lot of those beans were. But, you know, if we finish out this growing season perfect, and not that beans really care about the weather as much as they do sunlight, but it's hard to come up with a scenario maybe that beans are going to be as good as what they're saying. But typically it's not smart to fight the USDA in a lot of this yield data anyway. So.
No, but I think we came up with a new drinking game after this week's USDA report.
Pod
every
weight?
Every time somebody says pod weight, I'm taking a drink, just so you know.
start tomorrow tailgating, right?
yeah, that's just going to be common lingo at the tailgates this weekend. Hey, did you see those pod weights? when you look over on the corn side, though, we saw a drop in ear counts, and that's something I think the folks, you know, at Pro Farmer, that they saw the ear counts just weren't there this year. Did you kind of expect that? I mean, was it expected that we would see that large of a drop, or was that kind of a surprise on the corn side?
Oh, I think a little bit of a surprise, but personally, I think that really got overshadowed by old crop carryout being the highest stocks to use ratio we've had since 2005, 2006. Very frustrating in that regard. You start looking at Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois, and you hate to sit here and beat the same drum all year long, but that production's way off from where it was last year. And so if nothing else, it's going to create some basis opportunities, but you got to think, can these other states make up for it? I mean, we're kind of off everywhere, but our demand's off too. So how much of this is going to all come around is going to be interesting to see. I guess personally, you look at everything considered, it's been really a seasonal type year. The fact that we put our high in there in middle of July, mm-hmm. have fallen off since then, and we're bouncing back here. You know, looking back at the last, say, 15 years, we'll typically see, call it 40% retracement from high to low. We have years that set a high and we do bounce back, or set a low and bounce back in this time frame. So I guess maybe you have an argument we could get back to 380 to $4 without in a normal year. And so maybe throw in some yield issues. And you know as well as I do, it just depends on where you're at and who you ask and when the corn was planted to get a yield indicator. So,
yeah, you know, and Phil, that's what I was thinking about on the way in here in Kansas when I was driving in. I'm amazed at how quickly this crop is drying down. And so we are starting. And some of the folks that I've talked to so far say, you know what, yields are actually pretty good. Or yields in some places, they're saying yields are better than what I expected. But is this the type of year where maybe we do see those highest yields come in early on in harvest, because that later planted stuff, some of the crop that didn't have the time to make what it possibly could just because it was under a shorter growing season, that will hit later? So do you think we do see the best yields that we're going to see all year? Do you think we see that now?
I think you got to believe that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of history that says the later the plant of the corn, the less the yield, and whether that's a test weight thing or what have you, and with as wet as it was, you are probably lacking some nitrogen and nutrients out there. I think that's a very good possibility. You kind of laugh or I joke with some of my clients in Nebraska. It's like we like to talk about the I states and spots not being as good, but they all kind of, I might have some of the best corn I've had in a while. I mean, it's not as perfect as last year, but I think for the conditions we had in Nebraska, we have some really good corn. But that being said, You know, I definitely think it's going to be the tail of two crops, and I've heard people talk about it, but it's like this early planting stuff, probably has a really good chance of being really good. And the later planting stuff, it's like how much can we finish off this crop in good condition, which, again, you can find people that say maybe an early frost, and right now it doesn't look on the table. I mean, they're talking 90s and here in Nebraska early next week. That will help push things along and get this crop rocking and rolling.
That's the thing. So that was my next question. I mean, we've talked about frost. We've talked about a freeze since this summer, right? And the possibility, if we did have that happen and we had an early onset or even a normal year for a frost or a freeze, what it could do to some of this crop that was planted so late. But yet this week, I'm standing in Ames, Iowa. We are all sweating because of how hot it is. And last year we were there at like October 10th, I think was the date, and they received their first snowfall and it was freezing. So it's amazing how hot it was in Ames, Iowa this week. And that is really pushing this crop along and maturing it very quickly. You know, so is there a possibility that we won't see a frost or a freeze impact this market like we once thought that we could?
You know, never say never in 2019 just because of the year we've had. But that being said, it just doesn't seem like right now, you know, it's kind of law averages type of deal. August was relatively cool and probably wetter than normal and across most of the Corn Belt. And now you flip over and it's been definitely a lot of moisture across some of the northern plains, but it's been a little bit drier, at least here locally, and warmer for sure here moving forward. So it's like, do things balance out? And do we get out of this super wet and cooler trend and flip back over? I mean, depending on what weather run you want to look at, I mean, I think there's some GFS models saying end of the month gets really cold. But, you know, right now, today, are you going to get worked up about something that's going to happen 20 days from now? You can't bank on that. You know, it's funny. You go back to the August report, and everyone said they're going to have to lower yield there. They don't lower yield, they actually raise it. So you go to September report we're on now, you ever thought it would drop a little bit more? It didn't. I just think every report we go through from a USDA standpoint, and you know, they're talking early frost now. Well, if we get an early frost, the market will rally. So how long is it until we get to the January report? And well, that's going to be the one that's going to tell us the truth, and corn's going to go back to 450. It seems like we are just hoping and hoping and hoping. Yeah. And whether you believe what's out there or not, that's subjective somewhat. But at the end of the day, you got to deal with what you're handed. And it's been great price action this week, but you can't get caught up staring at what's happening this week, especially spreads have stayed in here fairly well. I mean, I think that Dees carry was 41 cents when we finished the week at 38. You're not taking a whole lot of carry out of the market. And typically, you know, if they really thought the crop wasn't going to be there, we'd start eating carry up a little bit faster.
So, you know, we did see USDA trim yield, but just a little bit, Phil. I mean, it wasn't a lot. And we have some folks, and Chip said it yesterday, you know, this is kind of in the right direction. This is going to start a trend. But if they're already starting at this high of a level, I mean, realistically, between now and January, how much do you think they could actually trim off of this national corn yield?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You kind of look at, though, and say there's a lot of different situations that could come out of this. And say we even do come down to, say, a 162 type yield. If demand doesn't change, I think that's the bigger question. As we were going through the spring and corn was rallying, I guess that's what I kind of caution guys is I'm all for a corn rally to $5. But realistically, we don't have a demand change. So we can curb demand. And they raised some wheat numbers on feed demand this year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to feed more wheat in areas. We can curb corn demand. So it's like until we have an actual demand change, you got to think corn's going to trade in a $1.50 type range. So we had a great run up this year and it was good to see that, but to think things are really going to take off at a 162 yield, you're still only arguing maybe corn's at 410 to 420, which I think we'd take today, but it's not the $5 stuff you heard all spring either.
Yep. All right, well, this conversation's just getting started with Phil. We have much more to talk about when we come back on AgriTalk.
Three, two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Time now for AgriTalks Tech Talk, standing by Pro Farmers Dan Vaught. Dan O, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Davis, I'm looking at October Class 3 milk futures today. Back on August 30th, I suggested the dairy markets were set to drop. I was not exactly correct, as indicated by this week's big surge. For example, the October Class 3 milk contract jumped from last Friday's close at $17.72 per hundredweight to today's close at $19.17. That's an 8.2% rise in just 1 week. In fact, this latest close is the highest for milk futures since December 2014. Can the rally continue? It's hard to tell, especially with the market having stalled and created something akin to a doji star waiting signal on its candlestick chart today. I suspect it's going to consolidate the rise in the days ahead, but can't rule out a resumption of the rally.
Outstanding. Thank you, Dan Vaught. That's Pro Farmer's Dan Vaught. Members, get more of Dan's thoughts and his work at profarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk PM. Tyne Morgan here filling in for Chip Flory ahead of his exciting game weekend. And it was an exciting week. We had Chicago wheat up 20 cents on the week, Kansas City wheat up 18, soybeans up 41 cents on the week, corn up 14, feeders up 362 on the week, fats up 332. And hogs up 340. I like, you know, all of this,
yeah,
up and plus that we have on the charts right now.
Tyne, you put it like that, and it really does sound like a pretty good week. And I'm just going to throw in a shameless plug for the upcoming segment, the final segment of the week of AgriTalk's exciting coverage, the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I have a message for you. You say, who? Yeah, you. You. Not you, Tyne. You, beloved listener. Let's get back to Phil.
For a minute there, I'm like, is Davis talking to himself? I'm confused, and I feel like I'm in on a conversation I shouldn't have walked in on. That's what I felt like right there.
I've got a mirror, so I'm not always just talking to myself.
Phil, sorry. Apparently we're interrupting Davis's conversation with himself.
It sounded good, though.
Thanks for that, Phil. Thank you for that. This guy gets me.
Finally, someone. All right, Phil, real quick on wheat. I mean, like I said in the beginning of the show last week when I was in Texas, talking to some producers, I mean, they are just not excited about planting wheat this year. Yet this week we had Chicago wheat up 20, Kansas City wheat up 18 this week. There is some momentum on the week. Really, what is the biggest detriment to wheat right now? And then what's the biggest opportunity?
You know, I think exports are probably the biggest detriment towards wheat just in general. I mean, the overall stocks we have and our lack of demand is probably some of the bigger issues in the wheat market, especially with the EU and Black Sea having plenty of wheat supplies for competition. And opportunities, if you're not optimistic, you're not in agriculture. So, there's going to be chances out there. And seasonally speaking, we had chances, you know, a month and a half ago on wheat. There were some good prices in the Kansas City there in the July for next year, kind of in that 530 type area. That being said, you got to be about a year out on wheat at all times. And, corn's kind of getting to be that way, too, that your best opportunities are a year out or more. And playing the carries in both those markets, I think it just goes back to everything we've talked about on the demand side. Until we have a big demand shift in corn or wheat or a massive supply issue overseas, what's really going to drive this thing above its range bound from the last 10, 15 years? Or in corn, you kind of say post-ethanol, we've been between, now 470 and 310. So you got to take advantage of the opportunities. I think really it comes down to having the ability to strike when the price is there and understand your profitability levels and not hope and pray for a frost in this type of year or in the wheat market, hoping and praying that something comes up and makes sense. So especially in that wheat market with the carries the way they are, a guy can really capitalize on a lot of that if you're using the board of trade and understand what you're getting yourself into.
Well, Davis mentioned it, the wheat market, he said a little disappointed that they weren't included in some of these buys from China. I mean, let's say we would have China come to the market and buy U.S. wheat. Let's say that does happen. Is that something that could really provide the support that the wheat market's looking for right now? Or do you think, not even that's enough?
Definitely. I think the thing is, if China's going to come to the market and start buying, who knows how much, but if they talk about it, you're going to see a spark instantaneously. Now, how long does it stick around? Are the numbers there? It's no different than, I think Japan's actually one of the bigger buyers of some of our wheat as well. And it's like they say they're going to buy more, but is it all a price thing too? And so we can sit here and politically talk that, they want to come in and buy all this stuff from us, but until it actually happens or there's hard numbers, and with China too, is it even if we have hard numbers, until there's actual commitments and actual sales going over there, is how much does the market buy in? Now, I don't think it's not to change commodities, but you talk about soybeans. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have a whole lot factored in that market for a poor yield or for some sort of demand bump. And so whether it be domestically too, with as much pork as we're most likely going to go through and start exporting hopefully to China, our demand locally should get better for these soybean processors. But I think it's just one of those things that beans don't have a whole lot baked in. None of these markets do. So we got some opportunities ahead of us that if we get trade straightened out, but getting trade straightened out has been such a hard thing in the last 18 months that it's hard to bank on that right now. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 1,000 times, that's on yourself. So I hope to see something done, but at the beginning of October, it's going to be tough to think we actually get a trade deal inked.
When you look go ahead, Davis, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, it almost sounds like you're suggesting if things continue the way that they are going, that when an opportunity does arrive, and I'm talking mostly on corn, beans, and wheat here, especially for the wheat, you're going to want to take advantage of opportunities, right? If you can sell above break even, I'm feeling like you probably need to get that done and maybe just sell incrementally into a rally as prices go up, understanding that they probably won't hold at higher levels? Or am I
Most
all
definitely.
Wet on that?
No, you're 100% right. I mean, you kind of read my mind. It's like, if you know you're making money at X price, are you making what you want to? Maybe not, but if you know you are, lock it in and be disciplined about it, because there's going to be a year where the worm turns. Mm-hmm. But everyone kept saying that was, going to be 2020, 2021, all this ethanol going to China. Mm-hmm. Corn price was going to be huge. But you can't, and you can blame it on the trade war or whatever, but
when you have chances at levels that make sense, it, as hard as it is to do, because you can buy into the hype, and there's so much hype more so now than ever.
Right.
But at least get yourself to a point that you feel content, where you don't wake up and you're cursing the USDA every day, saying,
right,
they're trying to hose me here or put me out of business. I mean, that's, nobody wants to see rural America get thinner in people. So
right.
Obviously, farms are consolidating, but you don't have to run it more as a business, and I think that's been a key thing, you know, really since mid-2000s, things have changed, and it's only going to get more prevalent as time moves on here. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people who own ground and don't have to live off that cost, so they don't, as long as they can make their payments, they're happy, because they're living off some other income. So when you can make money on the farm and you can reinvest that in your farm, you got to think of it from more of a business standpoint and not hopes and prayers.
That's great, man. That's really great.
Phil, we need to hit on livestock, but before we do that, you know, we did see some buys from China. Yesterday, the talk was 10 cargoes or 600,000 metric tons. Today, USDA confirmed 200,000 metric tons of that. But what's kind of the talk amongst trade? How much do you think realistically that China could buy until Brazil's new crop hits?
You know, well, that's a whole other question, right? You know, how much can Brazil get planted with the dry weather they've had down there? I mean, I don't want to on one hand, I'm talking about not wanting to be over-optimistic, but at the same time, I think it has been dry down there. You know, the question is, how much do they really need, or how much are they just buying this for a good faith that we get something done trade-wise and trying to say Trump needs this win before the 2020 election? I think that's kind of the million-dollar question. Do I think... I'd more say our supply situation could curb our issues as far as carryout, more so than China stepping in. You go another year or two down the road when they're really trying to ramp up that hog herd again, I think that's where we're going to need the beans. So you kind of, in a way, it's weird to say, like kind of start off talking about, you hope beans are the ones that lead us moving forward and into the next year and pull corn along with it, because it's easy to say at these 2020 corn at 408 today, to say we're going to plant 100 million acres, but it seems to be the popular thing to think. So there's going to be something that flips that on its head and doesn't make sense why to be doing that. Just the same as the August 12th report, everyone's going to that saying corn's got to go higher. It's like just the flip side. The market has a way of humbling everybody, and no different than cattle. Say cattle here at a dollar 2 weeks ago, it seemed like you could buy the board and make money no matter what, and we went down to 93 and finally put a low in this week, hopefully put a low in this week, and chopped around here the last 2 days.
Yeah, so cattle, do you think we have put a low in this week? Is that kind of what you think at this point?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it feels like we've put a low in, and sounds like there's some dollar cash that's trading out there. At the end of the day, you get a big move, a $6, $7 move in 1 week, you're probably not going to keep blowing the top off, but there's a massive gap in that chart, and all those moving averages are sitting there at kind of 105, 103. So I think you got to feel good about a chance getting back to that. And same with corn, just looking at it from a chart, you'd hope we'd go back and fill that gap in the early 390s without even having a frost scare or a yield issue, and then let everything play out from there. But you want everything to kind of turn around. Who knows what this biofuels and all this ethanol stuff that's going on at the White House right now, who knows what the details are on that? I don't, but you hope it's a little lightning rod for the markets anyways.
Yeah, and apparently you can go on to one of the podcasts that we have with John Harith and Jim Wiesmeyer and hear some of those details. But the meeting today that was scheduled with the senators from the oil states apparently did get canceled because of Senator Ted Cruz's schedule. So that didn't happen today. And you know, there was some real fears from some, I think, some corn groups and some ethanol groups of what would come out of that meeting. But let's say we do have something positive when it comes to those displaced gallons from the small refinery waivers, you know, and we head into next week. What type of action do you think that could create in the corn market next week if we do hear something positive on the biofuels front?
Yeah, I think if you get something positive out of that, a quick run back to, you know, 380 to 390 is now the realm of possibility. The question is going to be is how short are funds today? How much do they need to get out of? And where does this thing sit at? You know, I think they came into it, this crop is bigger than what we thought 2 months ago, no doubt. Fast forward to today, we don't know really how big it is. I think there's enough doubts. The hard thing to put a pencil on all this is basis is running, you know, at least here locally and then kind of across the U.S., you're running around from 20 to 80 cents above normal basis levels. staring down a close to 2.4 billion bushel carryout. Something doesn't make sense there to me. The corn's out there somewhere. Is the farmer holding it? Did he get the MFP payment and say, I'm healed up financially, I don't need to move this until corn goes higher? I don't know. But I think any corn rally needs to be rewarded and at least get yourself to a comfortability level of profitability that you can live with going into the rest of the year.
Phil, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks. Well, we've got more. Davis is going to close out this Friday edition of AgriTalk.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Sometimes a couple of days in the fridge means all the flavors are coming together. We've got leftovers on the menu right here on AgriTalk.
Well, it's Friday, and yes, if you want to talk about the farm, and you want to talk about some fuel, and you want to throw in some fertilizer, well, I know no one can do that job like Davis Michelson can.
You're too kind. The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit ProFarmer.com. And now, Tyne. Tyne?
Yes, sir.
Tyne? Did we lose Tyne? Did we?
No.
Have we got Tyne?
I'm here. I'm just soaking in all the knowledge I'm about to get.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Now, Tyne, you've been in this business for a while. You've watched markets from your vantage point. Mm-hmm. Let me just lay a line of thought onto you. Let me just think out loud here for a second with you. Are you ready?
I'm not sure I can handle this on a Friday, but go ahead. Yep, go.
Okay. You got your wholesale markets. You got your retail markets, right?
Yep.
So if my – let's take, for example, my Handsome News Gel for my hair, right?
What did you call it?
Handsome News Gel for hair.
That's all it takes? Okay, go ahead.
Let's say the price is going down in my local retail store. Now, I know that I'm going to need Handsome Hair Gel, right?
And a lot of it.
And a lot of it. Not just a little bit. And seasonally, too. You know, because in the summertime, I'm going to the pool and stuff. My hair, you know, it doesn't need the extra buildup. Let's be honest. All right?
No,
but,
really.
But come around harvest time, maybe, you know, just ahead of planting season, I want a little more. I want to make sure I've got enough.
Yeah,
I check my wholesale markets.
You never know when you're going to take a harvest selfie.
You never know.
Right.
I check my wholesale markets and the prices are going up.
Huh.
So retail price is going down, wholesale price is going up. I need some. What should I do? What should I do? What do I do?
Buy some.
I'm going to go to my preferred retail outlet and begin to stock up.
Right.
It makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
by the truckload.
If I look at the wholesale market, that kind of gives me not an exact indication, but a pretty decent indication of where the retail price environment is headed. Big week this week in phosphates, people. We have been watching phosphates closely. We haven't talked about them very much, except when we're saying things like, well, phosphates are still overpriced compared to the rest of the fertilizer segment. I've said that time and again, and you, beloved listener, know that if you've been tuned in frequently. Since me talking in that voice, phosphate prices have fallen. In fact, my DAP price this week is down $4.89 by the short ton to $475.51 regionally. That's about $30 below the same time last year. Still overpriced compared to anhydrous ammonia, our standard bearer, priced pretty favorably compared to our nutrient composite index, which is also another decent matrix. But now let's look at MAP here, the other phosphate product that we cover. That's down $1.80 this week to a regional average of $473.85. That compares to last year this week at $521.65. So again, we are what I would call substantially lower, especially considering phosphate's propensity for being overpriced. I'd say we're priced pretty fairly here right now. The other thing with phosphate is production fundamentals. We've talked about how when prices begin to get too low, North American producers begin to take production offline. A lot of supply-side management going on there because there's a fair amount of phosphate floating around on the import market, and the fear is if we get oversupplied here, phosphate manufacturers aren't going to be able to make their nut. That's fine. We get that. wholesale phosphate prices are on the rise. Not necessarily a sharp rise, not necessarily everywhere. If you go to profarmer.com, you can see my article. Let's see, what did I even title that? I don't know, something with advice updated. Stick with that. That's really the only part of the title that you need. Oh, here it is. Phosphates threaten price strength. Advice updated. With the byline, phosphate prices showing prices showing signs of strength, but we are not yet ready to go whole hog on purchases. That doesn't mean that we're going to do nothing. Now, since prices on the retail side are still in a downtrend, we have not yet confirmed a seasonal low in phosphate prices. So we're not going to go out and book 100% of the phosphate here. We're waiting for that V bottom. We're going to book a portion. I advise my readers at ProFarmer.com to book some of the phosphate that they expect to need for fall or for spring at current prices, but wait for the market to turn around and head back higher. This is our strategy. This is how we do it. Wait for prices to run back higher before you finish booking whatever it is you're going to need to fill total needs. For me, that number is 50%. Go out and book half now. You know you're going to need it. Demand, you know, of course, you ask just about anybody in that industry, in the seed industry, the chemical industry, the fertilizer industry. Hey, well, demand's going to be pretty high coming up here in the next season, so you're going to want to. Well, okay, that may be the case. I'm looking strictly, if we put on the blindfold to demand and just look strictly at price, you are at a value buy compared to the last couple of years. I've got some very interesting charts up on ProFarmer.com. Book some phosphate. Get out in front of pending price strength. Let's get down to some of the numbers here. Ooh, I got a hurry time. I've got anhydrous ammonia this week off $1.31 to a regional average of $521.66. DAP, I said, down almost $5 to $475.51. MAP off $1.84.73.85. Vitamin K, your potash. We did not offer advice on potash yet. I still feel like it's overpriced. We're off 24 cents this week, 382.75. UAN 28% off a meager 4 cents to 261.41. UAN 32% off $1.73, 294.32. Urea down 21 whole cents by the short ton on the week to 411.13. Farm diesel unchanged, propane unchanged. I've got diesel at 237 compares to 251 same week last year. There's your propane at 115 compares to 131 last year. All told, our nutrient composite index softened an even 2.00 points to 583.66. Compare that to our five-year average of 610.32, and it doesn't look too bad on the fertilizer side here, Tyne. But again, we are going to want to be opportunity-based buyers, and I do feel like phosphate is an opportunity here. No matter what demand does, no matter what, right, this is a decent price. Growers, do yourself a favor. Get in touch with your preferred retailer. Talk about phosphates. And while you're there, talk about potash. And there you go. Tyne.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Davis, thank you so much. Anything you want to leave us with taking us into the weekend?
You know, I don't think so. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thank you, Tyne, for filling in for Chip. He'll be back on Monday. Thanks,
Phil, Conrad,
Conrad.
I cannot wait to hear reports. Yeah, I cannot wait to hear reports from Chip on Monday. A big football weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. That is our Friday AgriTalk PM.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.